Let's accentuate the positive, shall we? LSU taking on Arkansas this weekend. They're headed in the right direction. The weather here should be just beautiful, as it has been this whole week, really. Highs today, around 74 degrees, a little bit warmer than it has been. Warmer still tomorrow, 77, 78 on Sunday, but still a fall feel, which is nice. And then back to the 70s by next weekend. And maybe even by Halloween, we'll get that first real cold blast where you got to wear a jacket and a coat and all that stuff. Joe Geruso joins us now, New Orleans City Council member. How you doing, Joe?
I'm great. Good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. Let's talk about the budget process at City Hall and how it's playing out this year as opposed to years past.
Well, I think the biggest change, Tommy, has been because of the voters. Remember, last year, the council was promoting, along with the mayor, moving the budget date up. Under the charter originally, the budget process started with the mayor presenting on November 1. And in fairness to Mayor Cantrell and the previous administration, they usually did it a little bit earlier than that. But at the same time, when you're dealing with $1.5 billion budget, a $1.5 billion budget, that's a very short amount of time to do it. So we had a charter change that started the budget process on October 1. The mayor presented the budget. We're actually now probably about a quarter of the way through, maybe a little bit more, close to maybe a third of the way through the departments, and we're starting to see what's going on. And it's an important process for the council and for the public, because the departments have to put onto presentations what their accomplishments have been, where they've fallen short, and what's going on. And it gives the council a real chance to have a back and forth with departments in a public space about what's happening. And I think the biggest walk away that we have right now, and it's something the council has been raising for years, is we have some departments that are short-staffed. Take Department of Public Works, for example. About 5 years ago, they were staffed for about 213 employees. Right now, or what they're applying for in the 2025 budget, is 165. That's 50 fewer employees that were at least budgeted for 5 years ago. Well, what's going on with that? Is it a problem of retaining people? Is it a problem of recruiting people? Is it a problem of we don't have salaries that are commensurate with where they need to be? Is it, even if we put all of our money there and wanted to hire everybody that we possibly could, there's no way we're going to hire 50 people in the first 3 or 4 months of the year. So I think one of the things we're toying with, I said this out loud yesterday, and the administration said that they were amenable to working on it too, is maybe creating a pot of money that sits essentially in escrow, which just sits to the side, and it allows everybody to kind of dig in and say, and Department of Public Works and Safety and Permits and potentially other departments, what are the needs? How do we get them filled? How do we make sure things work? And how do we fund them correctly?
We'll get back to the Department of Public Works in a minute, but what have, throughout these hearings, what have been some of the things that you've heard that have said, yeah, you know what, that makes sense, that's going on the right road, yeah, I can go along with that, and other things that have made you say, hey, hang on here a minute, hold on, slow your roll.
Yeah, the things that make sense have been generally the items where people have said, we told you we were going to do this in 2024. And they did it. And maybe people don't think,
Joe, let me jump in for a second. And the reason I asked you that question is not everything in the city is broken, right? And that's what I wanted to focus on.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's exactly the point I was getting ready to make, too, is it's not everything is broken. And I know sometimes people roll their eyes when somebody does their job, but it's important when people do their job. And it's good to see, all right, we had a goal of doing this thing. We did this thing, and therefore it got accomplished in a short period of time. I'll just take code enforcement as an example of that. They've had a goal of speeding up their hearing process and demolishing more blight, and since they've been consolidated into a single department with a new department head, with new leadership, they're doing a lot more of that. And that's a win for everybody in the city of New Orleans, and we want to make sure they continue that. On the flip side, I think, I think that probably the two things are the reverse of what I just said, is if somebody or a department has had time to do things and they're not being implemented, but more importantly, there are just some positions where we need to have people who can do the work. And for example, with safety and permits, there was a reduction on the total number of employees who did electrical inspections, mechanical inspections, and other inspections. And what we're saying to the city is, hey, almost every department that we have is a cost center. We don't want to be making money off of mosquito control. But safety and permits is both a safety organization where we need to make sure things are being done well and competently, but also where if we're doing it really well, we're making money for the city. And so how do we pump that up to make sure it's working correctly?
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up, drill down on Department of Public Works, pardon the pun, when we come back, because, you know, if you're going to hire employees or having a hard time hiring employees, the workplace has to be amenable to that. And it seems as though they've had some problems with the Department of Public Works, not just in terms of toxic workplace, but overall the way the thing is run. We'll talk more with Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member, when we come back. 8:21, time for traffic now on WWL. 8:26 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, Friday morning, talking to Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member, about the budget hearings that are ongoing. Joe, when it comes to Department of Public Works, three questions. What do they do well? What do they need to get better at? And what should they perhaps be, what are they charged with that maybe should be under a different department?
Well, those are all very good questions.
That's why I brought them forth, Joe.
I appreciate it. I may go in reverse order here, if that's okay. So
I will allow you some latitude, but watch your step, counselor.
I appreciate that. Thank you. You can treat me as a hostile witness.
Okay.
I think your point is one that we've made with them frequently and they're getting more amenable to, which is Department of Public Works has so much in their portfolio. So think about in a normal city, you have the usual things that need to be done. But here, Department of Public Works not only has the usual things, but they also had all of the FEMA work that's happened from Katrina forward. Plus, as part of their work or connected to their work, they have green infrastructure as a connective tissue. It may not be completely there, but it's part of it. And then you have the day-to-day operations of filling potholes, of making sure that striping is done, that signage is done. One of the things we're talking about, obviously, we've discussed many times, as a result of Senator Harris's bill, that drainage consolidation is going to happen, and drainage of the small system will come outside of DPW and go to Sewage and Water Board. Now, Tommy, along with that, I proposed earlier this week to Sewage and Water Board in the city that we think about sending the green infrastructure over to Sewage and Water Board now, too. Why? Because for the last 30 years, we've seen the problems where you have drainage in one place and the major drainage somewhere else. I think it could be a procedural mistake to say the green infrastructure stays with the city of New Orleans and the gray infrastructure stays with Sewage and Water Board. There's also been talk, Tommy, about parking enforcement lives in Department of Public Works and not really in NOPD. And there are a lot of situations where things can get hazardous for Department of Public Works employees. And it seems like that would be better to be in NOPD and let them handle that as opposed to Department of Public Works completely. And then there's one little other thing, the Ground Transportation Bureau with permitting got moved into Public Works. And we're kind of wondering if that needs to go back to finance or safety and permits. I think part of the problem with the things they're not doing well is a point that gets underscored too often, which is Public Works is now on their fifth different department director, and it's extraordinarily hard to have continuity and collaboration and institutional memory. I do think on the technical side, the new director, Rick Hathaway, is making progress, but he's running from behind. He doesn't have enough employees. He doesn't have enough resources. So I think that is a challenge. And I'd say on the things that they're doing well is generally the places where they have the people and the money to do what they're supposed to do. So, again, the catch basin cleaning since the beginning of the year has done a significant change, and they've cleaned somewhere on the magnitude of 7,000 to 8,000 catch basins. I think it'll probably be closer to 10,000 by the time that the year is done, and almost 2 million pounds of material out of the lines. That's good work.
Wait, when does that move to surge and water board, or am I confusing that? Does catch basins move to surge and water board?
January 1.
Okay, and the money's going to be there for them to do that, because Ghassan always says he'll do it if you give him the money, right?
We're working on the money. We're going to make sure Ghassan has the money to do the work. We don't want him to be hamstrung either.
All right, I think he's doing a good job. I like him. Thank you, Joe. I like you, too. Appreciate your time. Have a good weekend.
Take care, you too.
You're not a hostile witness, you're a friend. Joe DeRusso, New Orleans City Council member. We'll talk to Barry Kimes, state climatologist, El Nino, La Nina. What? When we come back, minute late, time for WWL First News. All righty, here we are, 8:47, 13 till 9, a beautiful weekend ahead. And we thought we'd talk about El Nino, La Nina. What does that mean? What does that portend for the fall, the winter, hurricane season, et cetera? And who better to join us than Barry Kime, our friend, Louisiana State climatologist. How you doing, Barry?
Hey, I'm good, Tom. It's good to talk to you.
Let's talk about the tropics before we begin with El Nino and La Nina and all that stuff. What about anything to watch, anything to worry about? Here we are, October 18th. We hope, and again, barring Zeta or anything like that, we hope nothing like that happens. What do we see out there right now?
There's two tropical waves out there. You know, one is tracking north of the Greater Antilles. It has a very low chance of developing into anything. Not concerned at the moment. And then there's another wave down in the western Caribbean. It has the potential to spin itself up maybe into a tropical storm over the next day or two or three, but it looks like it's headed into Central America and not very likely to get into the Gulf. So I'd say right now, I'm not concerned about anything out there. So, things can change fast, but at this minute, there's nothing in the Gulf. Doesn't appear anything's going to get into the Gulf.
So sound the all clear for me until when in Barry Kimes' world?
Here's the way I look at things.
If I got to be somewhere at 10 o'clock and it's 2 minutes until 10 and I'm 20 minutes away, I'm still not late. Because technically, for those 2 minutes, I'm not late. That's how I look at things. So give me the all clear. I don't have to worry about any tropical weather until when?
Well, look, this little system, either of these systems, something could happen in a freak, flukish situation. So, we're keeping an eye on it, but I'm really not concerned about either. There's certainly nothing going to happen in the next, 5 to 7 days. And by that point, we're getting into the latter part of October, and I've spouted this many times. You know, we've never officially had a hurricane or even a tropical storm landfall in Louisiana in the month of November. If we can survive up until Halloween, we are golden. Now, that's not to say that the chances are zero. They're probably not zero. We had a close call about 10 years ago. I can't even remember the name of the storm. But it just brushed up against the delta of the Mississippi River and ended up making a landfall in Alabama.
In November,
it shows. What was that?
Wasn't it in November? Do I remember that right?
Yeah, it was November 7th, I believe. Mm-hmm. So it was even a week into November. So, obviously it can happen, but we had 174 years of data now, and we've never had an official landfall in November. So, once we get through Halloween, I pretty much shut things down. Even though there would still be a storm or two, spinning around out there, the tracks tend to shift eastward. Either in the eastern Gulf of Mexico or up the East Coast. And why I'm gonna tell you, the West Coast of Florida does not need any more activity. I can tell you that right now.
All right, let me take a break, yeah. Barry. We'll pick it up with you say El Nino, I say La Nina with Barry Kime, LSU climatologist. Back in a flash right now, traffic, WWL. Hi, Tommy Tucker, 8:57. Quickly back to Barry Kime, LSU climatologist. Tell me what's going on with El Nino, La Nina, what was supposed to happen, what is happening, and what it means. Barry, the floor is yours.
Okay, thank you. So we're in what's called insomnium conditions, and all that is a very fancy way of saying we are in neither an El Nino nor a La Nina. Now, the expectation was that we were going to transition from, we were in El Nino back in the spring, as recently as this spring. The forecast was that we were going to, the pendulum, it was going to swing, if you will, from El Nino on over to, you know, to neutral conditions, obviously, where we are now, and eventually into a La Nina. We were expecting that La Nina to be here by now and to have a big impact on this hurricane season, because what it does is it creates very favorable upper air. In other words, low wind shear environments, which allows hurricanes to blossom and rapidly intensify and all that good stuff. So the fact that we don't have a La Nina in place right now is a good thing, because, again, it creates more hostile upper air, and it prevents high numbers of storms from forming. And up to this point, we've only had 13 named storms this season. I say only. 14 is considered an average season, but they were, a lot of people were predicting numbers over 20. They were expecting over 20 to 25 named storms, and it doesn't look like we're going to get there, which is all out a good thing. However, we're still likely to see this La Nina form as we get, into the latter part of the fall and into the early winter. We expect it to be a weak, short-lived La Nina, which means for us this season, in terms of the winter, usually it's a warmer than normal and drier than normal winter when we're in La Nina conditions. But again, it'll be weak, and we'll just have to see how it plays out. But that's certainly how things are playing out up to this point. I mean, we're very dry. Drought is creeping into the state, and we have been warmer than normal, and I don't anticipate that that's going to change anytime soon. And that's not to say that we won't get a couple of cold air intrusions, but when we add it all up at the end of the season, likely to be warmer than normal.
So putting all of that into one big ball and using you as our own personal farmer's almanac, you're saying that we're looking at a winter that would be maybe not so cold and drier than usual?
Exactly. And like I said, the drought is already creeping in, and it's an issue, and hopefully things will change and we'll set ourselves up nicely for the farmers in the spring. Right now, though, in your drought conditions, the sugarcane farmers love this weather because it's nice and dry, easy to harvest, and all that fun stuff. If you're trying to raise cattle and keep them happy, the grass just isn't growing, and it makes it that much harder. So there are always winners and losers in all of these equations, but when we go into drought, there are more losers than winners.
Thank you.
By the way, I know you're a Shaw Eagles guy. I'm a Chalmette Owls guy, so go! I got to get a Go Owls in there. Okay.
Last game we played was against Chalmette. Matter of fact, I once kicked an extra point to beat the Chalmette Owls 7-6. Thank you, Barry. We'll talk to Ian McNulty when we come back.